Hello, my name is Sally, and I'm part of the Chichester site. I'm married to Andy. We have two children. We're a forever family. We had our children through adoption. So if you want to find out more about that, you can always come and chat to us, but that's nothing to do with what I'm preaching about. So we'll move on. I was having a think, and I think possibly we've been part of Grace Church about 17 years now. Doesn't feel that long, but yeah. So we are at the first Sunday of our Christmas preaching series. There we are. Look, we've got it up there. If you want to find the Bible verses before we get to them, I'll give you a little heads up. John 1, verses 1 to 19, if you want to get that ready. Now, we're going to be looking at, over this Christmas preaching series, Christmas, surprisingly. There's always a moment in the kind of build-up to everything, or there is for me, when you start feeling Christmassy. And I don't know what it is for you. You might never feel Christmassy, and that's sad, but I hope most of you do feel Christmassy at some point. And it can be maybe getting the decorations up, or buying the tree, or doing the little traditions that you do every year. What have I got? We like to go to the Winter Wonderland Walk at Keydells. That's not an advertisement, and I haven't been paid. This is the first time that we went, and there is much light there. And that's what our Christmas preaching series is about looking at the things of Christmas that we look forward to, the things that might make us feel Christmassy. And we look forward to them because we enjoy them and they come round every Christmas. But actually, like we heard from Tim this morning, there's a deeper meaning to Christmas. And these things that we look forward to once a year actually point to a deeper meaning for the Christmas season, and one that can bring us that same joy and excitement even the whole year through, and that's Jesus. Now, we're going to start off today by looking at Christmas lights. They're lovely. I love Christmas lights. I love that bit of the Winter Wonderland Walk, and it's very overloaded on lights and stuff, so it's like Christmas on steroids in there, which is great. And I have rules about Christmas lights at home. We must have warm white lights only. Yes, yes. One year, Andy bought ice white. And yeah, we had to return those. It's not right at all. So, you know, what is your light? We're instinctively drawn to light. It appeals to us. You know, no one says to you, oh, I found this absolutely lovely house. It's dingy and dark and you can't see anything. Very gloomy. You know, that's not a good selling point. And on those renovation programs, you know, they talk about transforming a house into bright and airy and light. There's all those good things about it in terms of light. And we use light and dark in everyday language to describe positive or negative things. We talk about a time in Western European history where people believed superstitions and followed rituals. We call that the Dark Ages. And this was followed by a time referred to as the Renaissance, where people began to think critically, employ scientific principles, and build complex machinery. And this, we had Enlightenment. It was a dark time, you know, when we were stupid. And then the light came and we were clever. Light is seen as good, darkness as bad. There's a couple of exceptions to that. If you are a deer and the light is headlights, generally not good. Or if you're a mushroom, darkness is excellent. Darkness, very good. But as there are no deer or mushrooms here this morning, we'll move on. So I want to look basically at what Because we talk about light being the good that comes after the dark. And I want us to think about, what is your light? What is the antidote to your darkness? And often a person's light can be linked to what they define as their darkness. So let's have a look at three examples of things that people in the world can hold on to as their light, as their solution to darkness. So we have the first one, knowledge. Light is about having more revelation. When faced with challenge or difficulty, some people can look to knowledge to help them. If they can just find out more about something, it will be more controllable. They'll know what to do. Quite often in the Western world, we think that knowledge is the answer to social problems. And famously, ignorance was one of the five giant evils identified in our society after the Second World War. And those five giant evils were what the welfare state is based on. And the answer to ignorance was education. So a free education system was set up for everybody. Unfortunately, that education system is struggling. It's struggling financially right now. It's struggling to meet the needs of a lot of children who are in it. Maybe the knowledge that is your light is in science. Stephen Hawking once said that the eventual goal of science is to provide a single theory that describes the whole universe. I think we're possibly still a little far off that at the moment. Next off, people can look at spirituality or other religions. Light is about finding a deeper meaning. And many religions do talk about light. The Jewish traditions have Hanukkah, the Festival of Light. Hindus have Diwali, which is translated as Row of Lights. Buddhists are trying to seek enlightenment, which will end their cycle of reincarnations and they'll reach nirvana. But in other religions, it's all about humans trying to achieve things, trying to reach God or nirvana. But what if you can't get there? What if you just can't do enough? What if it's beyond your ability? What then? I don't know about you, but it's bad enough trying to get all the household chores done, let alone trying to reach a God who is so far off. And there's New Age spirituality and that links a distinction between God and creation. So spiritual experiences are often had in nature, but it lacks a personal relationship with God. Instead of a far-off God, you have a formless, unknown God. And lastly, people can look to protection and defences. So light is about being protected, safe and comfortable. Maybe your light is building defences around yourself. The Ming Dynasty, who you may know by their vases, were persistently invaded by foreign people. And so to cut a long story short and much more simple, they built a big wall to keep invaders out. So for them, the darkness, the instability was their darkness of constantly being invaded. And Ming means brightness, which inferred the darkness had been banished. And maybe you like to put up defences. Maybe you keep people at arm's length. Maybe your darkness was being close to someone that hurt you. Or maybe it's instability. Maybe that's your darkness. So protection from that is what you cling to. Control and future planning are your light. Well, let's read John 1, verses 1 to 19, which I've forgotten my Bible, so I'm just going to read it from up here. So, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." Now this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. I hope I styled the back of my head appropriately this morning for that. So Jesus is the light of the world. The ultimate darkness is death, and none of the examples offered by the world can provide a solution to death. Jesus' light is the only light that has the power to save and provide a solution to death. For those who believe in Jesus, he has made you spiritually alive, so that even after physical death, your spiritual life will continue, and ultimately you will have a new body. But you've been saved from that ultimate separation from God through death. John begins his gospel by talking about Jesus as the Word. He equates him with God, attributes him as creator and life sustainer, and makes it very clear that Jesus is God, not a separate God, but fully God, a person of God, infinite. Jesus is fully divine. But you might ask, how can Jesus understand what I'm facing? How does he know what I'm going through, what it feels like, how real the darkness is in my life, if he's so high in his divine state? The reality of the first Christmas is that Jesus came down to us and became flesh in all the vulnerability and frailty that that entails. It says the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth. Jesus was made fully human. He got tired, thirsty, hungry. He came into our mess, into conflict, suffering, prejudice, scandal, hate, violence, and torture, and all those things he experienced firsthand. Ultimately, his love for us took him to a barbaric death so that he could offer us a light, a hope, and an answer to death. In a move unrivaled by any other religions or solutions offered by the world, Jesus stepped down into our darkness to offer his light. And he experienced everything we could experience in terms of pain and suffering, and sacrificed himself, paying for all of our sin so that we wouldn't have to. And there are three things that we can draw from John's description of Jesus' light that address those three things highlighted as inadequate solutions in the world to light. So the first off, knowledge. So from what we read in John, actually Jesus' light offers illumination to all, firstly. No one is excluded from the light that Jesus offers. No one is disqualified. Going the wrong way. In 1 Timothy, it says, "This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth." There is a knowledge that the world seeks after, and that's not necessarily a bad thing in itself, but it doesn't have the solution to death. Only Jesus offers that. Only Jesus is light. And it's on offer to everyone. No one is excluded. Secondly, Jesus' light shines in the context of darkness. You don't need to be in the right place. You don't need to wait until things have calmed down. You don't need to have sorted out all the questionable areas of your life before you can come to God. Unlike other religions, you don't have to make yourself good enough or spiritual enough first. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Jesus invites us to come to him as we are, with all of our stuff, and he does the work. And lastly, the darkness has not overcome. Nothing is bigger or stronger than Jesus, the divine God. There is no situation that you are facing that can overcome Jesus' light. You don't need any other protective forces when God, the creator of the universe, defender of your soul, is your God. There is no power that can overcome Jesus. So ultimately, Jesus' light conquers death and is the only light that can do so. But Jesus also helps us in our Christian walk every day with him as well. And I want to look now at three areas in which he does that. So, first off, identity. The kind of questions of who am I? What is my identity? Why am I here? Are all questions that even Christians can have and wrestle with. But Jesus provides a light to this answer because he mediated in your creation. John purposely copies the verses from Genesis in the verses that we just read from John when he says, "In the beginning." The Jews used to refer to their books of the Bible by the first line of that book. So Genesis was referred to as "in the beginning." So it was a very clear message that John is highlighting that Jesus was present and part of creation. So Jesus was involved in creation. He mediated in creation. He mediated in your creation. There's the verses. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." Your identity, meaning, and purpose is found in him. When someone creates something or invents something, they know what it's for, the purpose that it's going to serve. Even an artist will think about whether it's going to be a painting on a wall or whether it's going to be a vase which will stand on a surface. And in that same way, Jesus specifically designed you. And the Bible says that God created you for good works, which he planned in advance for you to do. He also predestined you to be saved, to know him. And ultimately, your purpose is to bring him glory through your worship of him. And what is worship? Is singing to him all day? No, it's more than that. Living your life in step with the Holy Spirit, saying yes to godliness and no to ungodliness as the Spirit empowers you. When we live life how God calls us to, it is worship to him. And this isn't a gospel by works. We're not saved and maintain our relationship by doing things that we think will please God. It's knowing that through God's grace, we have access to this intimate relationship with him, where we are loved and made complete. And the fruit of that is choosing to please God through our lives and everyday choices. We don't get it right all the time. Thankfully, towards the end of those verses in John, it says that there is grace upon grace. That can refer to the old covenant and the new covenant, but it also highlights God's unending grace to us. Jesus' light brings purpose. Secondly, in terms of decisions or dilemmas, light illuminates a situation, and this world can bring so much confusion, so many dilemmas and questions. For example, you know, for our students, what uni course should I do? What should I do if I'm not enjoying my course? How much should I drink when I go out with my friends tonight? For our young people, is cannabis really harmless? Does it not matter if I only have it occasionally? Who should I have a relationship with? Who should I sleep with? And the decisions and the bombardment of information and the dilemmas doesn't stop with our young people. It continues. When should you have children? How many children should you have? How should you parent them? How do you disciple them? What about social media? How do I prevent them getting sucked into drugs or gangs? Should I leave my marriage? Should I have that operation? Shall I sell my house to pay for my care? Who's going to look after me now my mind and my body are failing me? Throughout life, there are decisions and dilemmas and questions that we face. And the challenges in our world are immense. And some of those decisions show why it's strikingly apt to describe our world as a dark place. Well, take heart. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. You've been called out of darkness and been brought into light. And when you look at your decisions and your dilemmas in the light of who God says you are, it changes things. Christ lives in you and he will guide you through life's decisions. You can trust him to bring clarity to confusion. It says in Psalm 119 that your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. God's word brings guidance as you read the Bible. His word comes alive and brings clarity to your situation. You can trust him to speak to you. And these words have power. The words in the Bible aren't just text, just written. They have power. And there's testimonies from people who have actually come to know God through reading the Bible. They've been saved. And I don't want to trivialize some of the situations that I've highlighted in terms of the questions that you have, saying, oh, God will guide you through and it'll all be fine. Some situations are complicated and they need time and prayer working them through. And some decisions are clear and they come down to a battle of the flesh and we need to remember who we are. In Ephesians it says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Now, undoubtedly in this room, all of us will have done things and be in the midst of doing things that we know don't please God. And God brings light on situations that need clarifying in terms of their sinfulness. We've already been talking about being prepared for death this morning. We're now moving on to sinfulness. We will get to the happy Christmas stuff at some point. Now, it says in John, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Now, stay with me. If you're a follower of Jesus this morning, you are not condemned. But I believe there's some people for whom this message could be a bit uncomfortable. And when I was preparing this, I had a picture of a bedroom. And a young boy was hiding in his bedroom doing something that he shouldn't. smoking or something. It wasn't clear what it was. But the light was out, and when the parent came in and turned on the light, they were shocked and disappointed at what they found. But God says, it is not like that with me. Because for one, the light is as darkness to God. He already sees our sinful acts. He already sees your sinful acts, whatever they may be. The light is for you, so that you can see that what you did was done in the sight of God. And this morning, Jesus opens his arms to you because your shame is driving you away from him. It's not judgment he comes in, it's compassion. Yes, there needs to be repentance, but it's because he wants you to be free of that sin that is weighing heavy around you. And if that resonates with you this morning, then please don't leave here without talking to somebody. Come and pray. It can be sorted and it can be gone this morning. But as I said, other decisions are more complicated, and we need to take time to pray, to read the Bible, to seek the counsel of godly friends. And in doing these things, you can be assured of Jesus' light to reveal to you the right path, because Jesus' light brings clarity. Thirdly, abandonment and despair. You know, there's a lot in our world that we can feel quite overwhelmed by. Wars, climate change, cost of living, family issues. But Jesus' light offers an unrivaled hope in these situations. He sustains us. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You know, we had a pretty difficult year as a family last year. Things felt very relentless. I felt very hemmed in on every side. I was unable to see a way out, despairing, anxious about solutions and whether things would ever improve. Countless times I remember being reduced to tears, demanding of God what on earth he was doing. But we were never overtaken by our situation. And God's shoulders were big enough for my anger and my heartache. And I can stand here now and say that God brought us into a spacious place. Praise God. Our darkness did not overcome our light of hoping in God. You know, the verse says darkness has not overcome it. And you see, darkness has no choice in the matter. There's no discussion. Darkness cannot extinguish light. When light comes, darkness goes. There is no choice. Sometimes you can move so far from the light that it gets dimmer. And I wonder this morning if some people have moved so far from God that you don't feel like you can see him anymore, that his light has become dimmer. Well, there's good news. Where can I go to flee from your spirit? If I go down to the depths, there you are. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light will become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. It says in the Psalms, God can still see you. The darkness is as light to him, and he will come and find you. You cannot move so far from him that he cannot come and find you. Amen. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus will never abandon you. He has made an exchange that cannot be undone, and nothing you do will cause him to let go. Jesus never gives up on you, so there is no need to give up on yourself or your situation, because Jesus' light brings hope. So, what do we do with this light? We shine it for all to see. Let's bring that up, because you have another look at the back of my head again. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and give light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We all, as Christians, share in Jesus' ministry to bring light to the world, which is a phenomenal truth. Jesus stated that he was the light of the world, and now he says that we also are the light of the world. As a Christian, you have in you the light of Christ that draws others to him, but the light doesn't come from yourself. So whether through the way we live our life, the conversations that we have with those who don't know Jesus, we are able to bring light, that light that was involved in creation, creating the universe, into close contact with people who don't yet know the truth. As believers, we are inextricably linked and caught up into something so much bigger than just ourselves. And it isn't just a nice thought. It's a real spiritual reality for the spiritual world that we inhabit. If I can get the band to come up, I'm just going to go close. Not close, come to the end. You know, many things in this world offer solutions to our difficulties and challenges, but none can solve these things completely, and absolutely none have provided an answer to death. As we reflect on the twinkling of the Christmas lights around us, we can be reminded of an infinitely brighter, constant light, Jesus. And he offers that light this morning. Jesus, fully God, mediator of creation and sustainer of life, became flesh, fully human, in all weakness and suffering that that entails. Christians this morning, remember, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And for those who don't know Jesus, the light is a call to you, an offer to flood your life with a light that any darkness, even death, cannot overcome. If that's you, please don't leave without speaking to someone this morning. You know, these Christmas lights are beautiful and mesmerizing, but they point to a greater and more powerful light that has always existed, even before creation, and that came on that first Christmas. And that's why we celebrate today. I just wonder if the band could just start quietly playing. We're going to move into a time of communion, and I'll hand over to Tony for that. But I'd like us just to pray, if that's okay. Maybe we could all stand, if we're able. Thank you, Jen. I just want to pray first for anybody here who has not yet made a commitment to Jesus, who has not given their life to Jesus, or has been away for a very long time and wants to make a serious recommitment. I just wonder if you pray this prayer along with me. Lord God, I admit that I have gone my own way, that I have done things in my own way, that I have sinned, that I have done things wrong, and I'm sorry. And I want to know you this morning. I want to put my trust in you. I want to give my life to you. and call you my Lord. So I give my life, I repent, I turn away from what I've done, and I confess that you, Jesus, are Lord, and I want to follow you from now on. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I do ask this morning that you come and talk to someone, to me, to Tony, to someone you came with. Just solidify that moment by speaking to someone this morning. And now I want to pray for those of us who are believers. Lord God, we thank you that you are the light of this world, Lord God. We thank you that you came down from darkness, that you came into our darkness, into our pit of despair, of hopelessness, and you offered your light, you shone your light, you found us and you took us out of darkness and you placed us in your glorious light. You made us children of God. You adopted us into your family and you promised to never, ever let us go. Thank you that there is no power that can take us out of your hands. Thank you that there is no situation that we face that is too dark for you. Thank you that there is no situation that we can face that is too much for you. There is no situation that we can face that is beyond your ability to reach us and bring us through. So we thank you and praise you this morning, Lord Jesus, that you are the light of life, that you are in us, and that your light shines out through us. Thank you that you use us in our everyday lives to shine light to others. And we just pray, Lord God, that we wouldn't hide that light, that we wouldn't shy away from that light, but we would allow it to shine, and that we would see other people saved and brought into your light through it, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.